This is 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV for Friday, March 22nd, 2024. I'm Derek Gilbert. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you. Subscribe, click the bell for notifications, and then I'll tell you how to make sure we never get canceled after the break. The five things you need to know as we head into the weekend. Item number five this week, Israel. Prime Minister Netanyahu has given the go-ahead for the operation in Rafah. That's the southernmost city in the Gaza Strip, where as many as a million Palestinian Arabs are reportedly sheltering from the fighting. This week, they also announced that they had rejected Hamas's ceasefire demands, which Netanyahu characterizes as still absurd. But the problem Israel faces now is that its Western allies appear to be getting squishy on the whole thing. On Thursday last week, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, who's the highest-ranking Jewish elected official in the United States, said that Netanyahu had lost his way and that he risked turning Israel into a pariah state. And now it's reported that Schumer rejected a request by Netanyahu to address Senate Democrats during their caucus lunch on Wednesday. He said he didn't want to make it a partisan issue. We also note that 19 Democrats in the Senate have called on President Biden to publicize a framework for an independent Arab state inside the borders of Israel. I'm trying not to use the word Palestinian because this was a marketing term invented in the 1960s. There is no such ethnicity as Palestinian. They are Arabs. Yes, their ancestors may have lived in the land, but we will deal with that issue another time. But Palestinian Arabs demanding a state inside the current borders of Israel, and the United States apparently leaning toward recognizing such a state without the consent of Israel. Now, Prime Minister Netanyahu did address Senate Republicans on Wednesday, delivering a presentation answering questions. House Speaker Mike Johnson considering extending an invitation to Netanyahu to come to the United States and address Congress. Meanwhile, some 140 Hamas terrorists have been eliminated in an operation at the Shifa Hospital in Gaza City. This is where they are apparently holding up. The operation continues as of this recording. Now, while all of this is happening, the United Kingdom has declared it will no longer sell weapons to Israel unless Israel allows Red Cross personnel to visit the Nukba Force terrorists, Hamas terrorists being held prisoner after carrying out the October 7th massacre. This despite the fact that Hamas continues to refuse to allow Red Cross visitors to the Israeli hostages reportedly still being held in Gaza. Frankly, we don't know whether they're still alive. And Canada has announced it is ending weapons sales to Israel. We see clearly now what kind of man Justin Trudeau, if we didn't know already, what kind of a man Justin Trudeau is and the kind of government he leads, siding with the Palestinian Arabs, who, according to a new Palestinian-run survey, overwhelmingly support what happened on October 7th. 71%, according to this Palestinian Arab survey. Now, this may be propaganda. We also know that some 90% of Palestinian Arabs would like to see a Fatah leader, Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, step down. So, war of information. We try to sift through it as best we can. Topic number four, wars and rumors of wars. Speaking of conflicts, the Pentagon this week assured Congress that, the $42 billion worth of military aid that has been sent to Ukraine is fine. It's not been stolen, misappropriated, or been misused in any way. But the Government Accountability Office, which is a nonpartisan office inside Washington, D.C., says they're not even looking. You don't find the corruption if you're not actually looking for it. United States, again, the leading supplier of military aid to Ukraine, $42 billion thus far, another $60 billion stalled in the House of Representatives. And while things are heating up in Ukraine, things are heating up in East Asia, as Taiwan's defense minister appears to have accidentally admitted that United States soldiers are now being stationed just off the coast of China. This is startling and disturbing. But it appears to reflect a Biden administration pivot to China now that Ukraine is essentially a lost cause. I hate to be so blunt, but let's be honest. That is, in fact, the situation on the ground in Ukraine. We appear to have sent green berets to Taiwan. Defense Chief Chu Ko-cheng, speaking to the press, said that the U.S. military is training Taiwanese forces on small islands within 3 miles of the Chinese coast. This is a dramatic increase in America's presence in the region. It was thought that we had a few soldiers on the island of Taiwan itself. Kinmen Island, the island in question here, is about 100 miles from the coast of Taiwan, but only 3 miles off the coast of China. Now, China has not officially recognized the presence of U.S. soldiers there, but you better believe they know. And this, again, amounts to a serious escalation of tensions in that region. Topic number three, the border. Conflict at the border continues. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals hearing arguments on Wednesday about the new Texas law that would allow the state of Texas to arrest migrants in the state illegally and deport them if Mexico will take them back. Mexico says we're not allowing any deported illegals back into the country, which begs the question as to why they were allowed in Mexico from the south, but I think we know the answer to that. Meanwhile, New York City's Mayor Eric Adams appears to have doomed the Big Apple to becoming sort of a catch-all, a dumping ground for illegals inside the United States. On Friday, Adams announced a deal to limit the time illegal migrants can stay in shelters at taxpayer expense. This appears to be aimed at pacifying voters in New York City who are becoming increasingly uncomfortable with the growing number of illegals in their city. But his agreement doesn't actually do what he says it does. He claims the agreement with the Legal Aid Society and the Coalition for the Homeless will allow the city to evict adult migrants from city-run shelters after 30 days. But the fine print says migrants can stay longer if they obtain a driver's license, follow shelter rules, and show good behavior or any number of other things, including, get this, applying for public benefits. You can stay in the shelter longer at taxpayer expense, some $342 per night, if you go on the dole at taxpayer expense. You cannot make this stuff up. And, oh yes, this agreement only applies to single adults, but 78% of them in the city now in shelters are there as parts of families. And, of course, it'll just encourage those who are single adults to grab children and claim that they're there as part of a family. This deal is going to doom New York City to a financial catastrophe. Topic number two, Haiti. Chaos continues in Haiti. We told you earlier this week about the U.S. government evacuating some 30 Americans from the northern part of the island, part of Haiti. Haiti shares the island of Hispaniola with the Dominican Republic. U.S. chartered helicopters flew out of Port-au-Prince to take more Americans out of the country. The city, about 80% of it, now under the control of armed gangs, violent gangs. This country has devolved in recent weeks into chaos, but 7 months ago, the U.S. State Department was warning Americans to get out, and the embassy in Port-au-Prince has now been evacuated. This makes 11 embassies, by the way, 11 embassies, American embassies that have been evacuated since Joe Biden took office. And he ran on a promise of reestablishing America's, you know, status in the world. Anyway, U.S. and Caribbean leaders have pushed through a plan that will see a prime minister leading a transitional government with security forces from Kenya being flown in to take the island back from the gangs. Don't know how well that's going to work. Pray for those on the island, both Haitians and people from other nations who are there, because this is not a place that you want to be right now. Coming up, we need to revisit a story from earlier this week on fake news from outer space, or about outer space. That's ahead, as well as details on our solidarity mission to Israel in early May. Keep watching. That's next on 5 and 10.
There is an all-out war being waged on the minds of an entire generation of today's young people.
State lawmakers are now questioning how 70 foster kids can go missing.
They have convinced us in the West that children are a burden. Birth rates are below replacement levels just about everywhere in the Northern Hemisphere.
People would have to be utterly blind or insane not to recognize the current heartbreaking onslaught against our most vulnerable citizens, our children.
Children who have been thrown up against walls and locked in closets. Children who hide under their beds in fear and whose nightmares are real. Children who have been beaten with 2x4s, whipped with bicycle chains, and burned with cigarette butts.
Children living in foster care are 4 to 5 times more likely to commit suicide than those who are not.
An agenda to submit our current generation of children to a fate far worse than death is being carried out.
I was 5 years old. I was doing dishes. My mom was so mad. She picked up one of the steak knives and shoved it through my hand and just walked away.
Who will stand in the gap for these children? These are real lives.
Item number one today, the UFO story that broke in late 2017. You might remember back in December of 2017, about a week before Christmas, the New York Times dropped a bombshell report about the USS Nimitz incident in 2004, where F-18 pilots spotted something that they could not identify much faster than any known craft in our arsenal, faster than the SR-71 Blackbird. And this led to revelations about a secret Pentagon program to track UFOs called ATIP, the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program. Earlier this week, I cited reporting by Stephen Greenstreet of the New York Post claiming that this was fake news, that the program was actually called AUSAP, and Harry Reid made up the name ATIP when he was trying to save the funding for the program after the Pentagon got a little squeamish about allocating $22 million to chase ghosts at Skinwalker Ranch. In talking with Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, who has a forthcoming book on the UFO phenomenon that should be very interesting given his contacts and insights, he suggests that maybe ATIP really did exist inside the government, that it is well known that there is a title for government programs that is released to the public, and then perhaps another title that is kept secret inside the Pentagon only, and perhaps ATIP was the title of the program that was only released when everything kind of blew up in December of 2017, that maybe Mr. Greenstreet, despite his credentials as a journalist, may not be familiar with the way things work inside the Pentagon as regards secret programs. So, was there a Pentagon program called ATIP, the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, headed up by Lou Elizondo? Perhaps. I still think the big question is, since the video of the Tic Tac, the so-called Tic Tac UFO, spotted by Lieutenant Commander David Fravor in 2004, was available on UTIP in 2007, why did this become a big deal in 2017? And why is the corporate media still keeping this story alive? I think that, to me, is the bigger question. Well, countering the darkness, that's what we do on Skywatch TV, hence the title of our new virtual conference. It's been available for a couple of weeks now, but if you haven't signed up yet, you haven't missed anything because you still get 90 days access to all of the content from the moment you sign up. 2 dozen cutting-edge presentations and, as a free bonus, all 6 Skywatch Films documentaries. Check it out now. Again, you set the conference schedule. Watch what you want to watch in the order you choose to watch it. And, of course, this is featuring Tom Horn's last presentation, recorded last fall before he became ill. You find out more and sign up today at DefenderConference.com, DefenderConference.com. This week, we talk about Tom and Nita Horn and how they met and how their relationship over the years blossomed into the vision for Skywatch TV, which is here to support the work at Whispering Ponies Ranch. This is in the context of the new docuseries Rescue Us, about the children who are saved through the work of volunteers at Whispering Ponies Ranch and supported by your generous donations. How did Tom and Nita meet? It's hilarious. Don't miss it. You'll watch the program right now. You can watch the program right now at skywatchtv.com. You can see it on our over-the-air broadcast, our schedule for the partner networks that broadcast Skywatch TV each week, posted at skywatchtv.com/channels. You can watch it right now on Apple TV or Roku, and coming soon, a Skywatch TV channel for Amazon Fire TV. You can also catch it right now at Rumble, rumble.com/SkywatchTV, or better yet, get our free mobile app, which bypasses the gatekeepers of big tech and social media. We will not be canceled from our app, and you've got various options, iOS, Android, Amazon, Kindle Fire, phones, or tablets. We have links to all of those app stores to find the device that is right for you. Now, coming back to Israel, our solidarity mission, May 6th through 13th, this is Sharon and me putting this together with our good friends at Lipkin Tours. Aaron Lipkin, who is currently serving as a combat soldier in the IDF reserves at the age of 49. To give you an idea how the economy of Israel has been disrupted. You've got tour guides, tour company operators who are now serving active duty, essentially. In fact, the archaeologist who took us around Gilgal Rephaim last spring just finished 90 days in Gaza. 9 million people in Israel, 1 million called up, mobilized into the reserves. We're planning to go May 6th through 13th. We'll visit sites in the south attacked on October 7th, have a barbecue with IDF soldiers. We'll go to Jerusalem, visit the holy sites there, the Temple Mount, the Western Wall, the Mount of Olives. And we'll go to Tel Aviv, Hostage Square, and the exhibit based on the Nova Music Festival. You can find out more at our website. Again, this is not a Skywatch TV event, but Joe Horn has very graciously allowed us to talk about it here. GilbertHouse.org/travel. GilbertHouse.org/travel. If you're interested in joining us, this will be a small group, just 24. We'll be secure. We'll be staying in Jerusalem the whole time. And we hope that we see you in the Holy Land. Thank you for watching as we keep watch with Grace the Rescue Dog. I'm Derek Gilbert. This is 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV.